Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. Today, we have a blend of sorts of an interview slash details of birth stories, and we're chatting with Miranda Bauer. Miranda is a postpartum wellness practitioner, and she is a mama of three living in Alaska with her husband, Nathan, and their children, Julian, Gabriella, and Jocelyn. And get this, baby number four is on the way, and we were actually one of the first people to find out because Miranda had found out the day before she spoke to us that she's pregnant. And she's had three home births, one of which unassisted, and planning for a fourth. And get this, an OB introduced Miranda to the concept of home birth. So that's super cool. We go into a little bit of that and just some of the things that we talk about. First of all, having a conversation with your cervix. Interesting. Mourning your past life before you become a mother. Very, very interesting experience. Advice for postpartum depression, as well as finding your support system. Because Miranda, as a postpartum wellness practitioner, is one of the very few individuals that do this in the entire world. So this conversation is an important one to have and share. Also, quick note, there is a little bit of fuzziness in the audio at one point or another. We're totally aware of it. Such is the imperfection of technology, but we are super grateful for it nonetheless because we are in Atlanta and we got to talk to Miranda in Alaska and bring you this conversation. So just a note on the audio, a little bit here and there, but it by no means takes away from the integrity or awesomeness of this conversation, which I know you will love. So here it is. Hi, Miranda.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for carving out some time out of your day to hang out with us on the Doing It at Home podcast.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here and have so much to share with you.
Yes, yes, yes. And just for you listening right now, if you know, you may not know this, we are in Atlanta, Georgia, and Miranda right now is in Alaska. And with that time difference, that means we're talking to Miranda right now at 6 a.m. So just want to throw that out there, that this energy she's bringing right now and everything she's going to share with us is all happening at 6 a.m. And I was asleep personally at 6 a.m. my time this morning. So I'm just letting you all know that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So why don't you kick us off with just sharing a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Miranda Bauer. I'm a postpartum wellness practitioner. And I started my home birth journey 8 years ago. My son is, he'll be nine in December. And I was actually introduced to the whole home birth idea through an OB, which is crazy. But he was a really good friend of mine. And I didn't realize that he was a OB who practiced at a hospital birth.
Wow.
And so when I got, yeah, absolutely crazy. And I, when I got pregnant, he asked me if I ever thought of having a home birth. And I was like, what? Aren't you an OB? Like, what do you mean a home birth? I was, really, unsure of everything that he was presenting to me. And I thought, you know what? I better look into it. He's got seven kids and, obviously knows what he's talking about. He's a professional. And so I started researching and oh my gosh, did I research and research. I was a biology student at the time. And so, it was right up my alley anyway. And I wanted to know everything that I could possibly know about the birth, experience and how that would all happen. And in my research, I started becoming a lot more comfortable with the idea of having a home birth. And so that's exactly what I did. I, set up myself so I could have that home birth and I, you know, had all of the knowledge. I was so certain, that this was going to go well and it did. And it was a beautiful, beautiful birth experience. And, I absolutely loved it. But what happened afterwards is that I planned so much for the birth experience that I completely forgot about postpartum. And so I was really inspired after my first birth to really dive into the postpartum period. I experienced postpartum depression. I had issues breastfeeding. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. I lost my partner at the time. I lost my job for good. And I ended up having to move back home with my parents. Like, my depression really took over who I was. And I wasn't bonding with my son, and it was awful. And I refused to tell anybody about it. It was a big, dark secret, mainly because I didn't want drugs, and I was really ashamed of where I was. And so it took me a good 2 years to dig myself out of that hole alone. And it was quite the journey. And through that, I became really, really passionate about the whole fourth trimester and started working with moms in that capacity. And I started hosting women's retreats and postpartum retreats. And I started speaking at universities and wrote a book on the subject and my journey through this period and my research in that. And unfortunately, there just isn't a lot compared to the birth experience. And then I went on to have, I met my partner, and we had two more kids, and now expecting our third. But all of them have been beautiful home birth experiences.
So, wow. That's a lot that you just shared, but it's so, okay. First thing that I'll just say is congratulations. That's amazing, because you just found out yesterday that you're pregnant.
I did. Yes,
so
I did.
I feel super privileged and honored to be a part of this conversation with you right now, because you're still in like the energy of all that. It's just swirling. So that's amazing. But first of all, I think it's really cool that an OB introduced you to the concept of home birth. Was what you commented on. Like, what? Like, isn't that what you're? Or don't you like sign somewhere that you'll never talk about home birth or something like that?
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, what was that first conversation like? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I remember sharing with him that I was expecting a baby, and I asked for advice, and it was general advice, like, what do you recommend? Like, I just found out I'm pregnant. What do you think I should be doing here? And his first thought, his first words were, "Have you considered home birth?" Like, it was straight out of the gate. And he said that it's not for everyone, and that he recommends that it's something that I look into more and that I get comfortable with. And that whatever I choose to do, whether it would be in hospital or out of hospital, in a birth center or at home, that he wanted me to know that I had the choice. And that whatever I choose, I should be comfortable with that decision. And it was, it was very interesting how he presented it. And he's very soft-hearted, really warm, loving kind of guy. Again, he has seven kids of his own. And just, he's like, the chill, cool, McCool kind of guy. and I really valued his opinion. And so when he told me that, I was really shocked and surprised, because I knew him as an OB, and of course he is an OB, but it really changed my perspective. Like, it changed how I thought about the entire birthing process, and that one little seed that he planted.
Oof. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty powerful, and I remember just sitting there thinking with that information, like, oh my gosh. Like, my options have just greatly expanded, for one. And I need to think about this and bigger, because it's not just about, out pops a baby. There's a lot more to this. And at the time, I didn't know what that meant. Now I do. Mm-hmm. But I just knew there was something bigger.
Yeah. And, I feel like I haven't heard a whole lot of OBs attending home births. Like, I know it happens, but to hear of a specific example of one, mm-hmm. is It's just really cool that they are out there. So then for your home birth, did you work with him? Did you work with midwives? You know, what was your birth team and support like and care like throughout your pregnancies?
So he actually lived in Chicago and I'm in Alaska.
Wow.
So I was doing some business stuff in Chicago for some time. Most of my pregnancy was in Chicago, and I actually came back to Alaska to give birth to my son, which it was the best decision of my life. It was incredibly difficult to find the care that I wanted in the Chicago area. It seemed at the time that it was home birth was kind of taboo. It was like this secret thing. They even had like this secret mom's club of home birthers. And it felt really weird to me. And I didn't want it to be that way in any way. So I moved back to Alaska and I found a home birth midwife. And I absolutely loved her care and it was beautiful and amazing. And she was with me. I remember the first time that I had met her, and I had met with OBs and I've had met with midwives prior to, and interestingly, I had like 5 different OBs in my first pregnancy, all because of something wasn't right. You know, that one seed was planted by the OB that I had, and I knew that there was something more. And every single time that I found an OB that I thought I would like, you know, something would come up. I had a male OB walk in on me during an ultrasound as I was undressing. And he's like, whatever, it's, you know, I've always seen that before. So it's all good. And I felt really disrespected. And I was like, you know what, this isn't right. I need to feel respected. Especially when the birth comes. And so I moved on to the next, and I remember asking her, what her opinion was on natural birth. And she was like, it's disgusting. And I was like, obviously you're not it. And so I kept moving and I kept shifting. And when I finally came up to Alaska, and I remember sitting down with my midwife and just sharing with her my experience through pregnancy and trying to find a provider. And I walked out feeling like I was just in a therapy session. And she just listened to everything that I had to say. It was almost a 2-hour long appointment. And she was with me the entire time. It was just me and her. And I felt validated and as if my wishes for the birth was going to be catered to and followed through with. And that felt absolutely amazing. So the birth experience, my parents were there and my partner at the time, and then my midwife and later the assistant midwife. And it was a 17-hour long birth. So it was really long. It was really challenging in that, what I didn't realize at the time was that, and I realized later on was that, my family being there was kind of a hindrance to me. I didn't feel as comfortable as I wanted to or should have felt, because they were there. It almost becomes like a performance. I gave birth and it was beautiful and, went on for postpartum. But by my second one, I realized that this is kind of crazy, but sometimes I like to birth alone for quite some time, which took me a couple of kids to figure out. So when my labor began with my second, it was only my son who was home and my husband, who at the time, like, hated cell phones, like refused. And he was in a class taking an exam. And my labor started and it was really intense. My water broke immediately. I was really in labor. And so he got home an hour into it. And I had already developed a rhythm that felt really good to me. And I couldn't have anybody in my space. And so he called the midwife to let her know that I was in labor, and I was mad that he called the midwife. I was like, you know, my last labor was 17 hours. And so I'm like an hour in, and I didn't know how far along I had been laboring. But I knew it was going to take me so much longer. Like, why are you wasting her time? And then 30 minutes later, I give birth. The midwife completely missed it. So it was, you know, an unassisted birth.
Oh, wow.
I gave birth to her on the hospital or on the bath mat and on my bathroom floor. And that was probably one of the most empowering moments of my life. Just having her move through me and watching her head rotate in my pelvis and her whole body just coming out was absolutely wonderful. And the midwife arrived about 15 minutes later. But all of it was just so empowering. Like, yes, I did that. I pulled my kid out. My husband was right there, and that was his first birth experience. And he was like, "Oh my gosh, like, woman, you are amazing!" You know,
yeah.
For him to experience that, and it was kind of interesting because he was like, "Okay, you want a home birth? Like, I'm not so sure, you know, but I'm going to respect you and your wishes, and you've done this before, and I'm just going to follow your lead." And then after that, he was like, you know, every time somebody, you know, says that they're having a baby or whatever, he's like, "You're going to have a home birth? You're going to have a home birth?" Like, which is really cool.
Yeah, I love that when like the husbands become these new advocates now for home birth, and they're out there having these conversations. Like, I've definitely seen Matthew at a barbecue or something explaining aspects of home birth, you know, to an audience who may not have otherwise have ever had that conversation in their life. And I'm like, you go, Bivens.
It's absolutely wonderful. I loved it. And my second was, and so my first labor was an hour and a half long. And so, my second labor was an hour and a half long. And so after that experience, when I got pregnant with my third, we were really concerned with how fast this is going to go. If I went from 17 hours to an hour and a half, you know, where is this? am I going to give birth in like 5 minutes? Because that would be cool, in my opinion. It doesn't work for everybody. But I would be happy with that. And so I brought my expectations with me into my third labor. And I really did want this, you know, idea of my baby kind of just falling out of me. And I didn't want anybody to be with me. So we called our midwife right away, but it took me a long time to labor with her. And so I kind of hid out in another space, and labored, because I had this idea that for me to have this wonderful birth as I did my last, which was, you know, an incredibly empowering, a story, that I was going to do that again, and this is how it had to be done.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
And so, but there was a point about 45 minutes into my labor where I felt like I needed her. And I couldn't communicate that. I wasn't in a space. I was very much laboring, intensely laboring. And my midwife recognized that I needed her in that moment. And, she came to me and she was like, what do you need? Do you want me to check you? And usually I'm fairly hands off and don't want anybody. But in that moment I said yes. And she checked me, and I'm, you know, here I am laboring as if I'm in transition, and my cervix was way back and only 3 centimeters dilated. And she was like, it's really soft, but it's back there. Can you think about, you know, what's going on back there? Talk to your cervix, which is such a funny thing to say when somebody's in labor. Your midwife says, talk to your cervix. And so I really focused my energy and everything that I had on my cervix. And she asked my permission if she could stay there and help help my cervix. And I said, yes. And she, within 2 to 3 contractions, my cervix had moved forward and was complete and dilation in just that short amount of time. And about 2 to 3 pushes later, I had my baby out. So not as fast, definitely not something that I had done alone. I needed my midwife at that time. And it was about 2.5 hour labor this time. But the wonderful thing about that is I learned that every single experience is radically different, although all beautiful at the same time. So my first birth was very empowering in that, you know, I felt like I could do anything. My second birth was a reminder, one that I very much needed after the difficulties that I had with my first, that I am a very empowered woman and I can do it myself. And the third birth was a reminder that, yes, I am powerful, but it's okay to ask for help. And that stuck with me. And so I'm really excited to actually learn how this fourth one is going to go and what lessons are going to be a part of that.
Yeah, like those lessons that you get and these messages that your births and your babies, you know, are giving to you, and that you get to, you know, on an experiential level, you know, physically, but then also mentally, emotionally as well, take from them. And I feel like you keep getting new things from your births as time goes on outside of the birth experience. You know, we're about to celebrate Maya's second birthday this week. And, you know, I'm thinking back and remembering aspects or learning new things about my birth. And it was 2 years ago. So it's, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. You know, it's not just the birth of a baby. It's a birth of a mother too.
Yeah.
And we have this whole transition that we have to go through. And, you know, because we've lived before, so it's kind of like the death of our old selves and the birth of a new. And some women have to mourn that past life, which is where I see a lot of, you know, as a postpartum wellness practitioner, I see so many hiccups because we, you know, 2 years or 5 years or 10 years down the line, we always hear, I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really that time, that initial bonding period and that initial 6 weeks that we become a new mother, that we haven't allowed ourselves to go fully into that. And sometimes that's because we had a difficult birth experience or some trauma, or we have difficulties in breastfeeding. When breastfeeding doesn't go well, nothing goes well, right? And so we have all of these layered things on top of us that we have to deal with before we can explore who we are on a fundamental level, this new person, this raw person. And we get stuck in that, and then it gets buried away. And then 5 years later, 10 years later, we're like, oh my gosh, I don't know who I am as this person anymore. And then we have to dig all that out again.
Yeah. So let's talk about that some more, because that's fascinating. And I'm sure so many are exploring that for themselves at whatever stage they are of motherhood, or even, you know, we have a nice number of non-moms who listen to this show and are a part of this community, which I love, because I feel like more and more women are starting to have these conversations and think about that preparation beforehand. And, you know, birth and being a mother isn't something that's just reserved for, you know, when you're stepping up to the plate, you know, when you're looking at the stick you just peed on, like, it doesn't start there. You can have these conversations and to kind of normalize that, because I don't know if it's a woman thing or whatever, if you start thinking about birth and babies before that's a very imminent experience in your life, that you are, whatever you're doing, whatever we say that society puts on that, you know, that you, all of that. But anyway, that, and I'm sure that's what you're working on in your work and the women that you connect with. Do you feel like some of that difficulty mourning the past life, do you think some of that comes from cultural and societal expectations that don't really set us up well, you know, that have us believing that we can be the same person and that we can have the same lifestyle and have the same things?
Oh my gosh. It's crazy how much society plays a role in that. I mean, we always hear, get your body back. Like, our body's not good enough at postpartum, right? Like, do everything you can to work out and get rid of that baby gut and the baby fat, right? We hear about that all the time. That's a huge market. We know about, oh, our babies are supposed to sleep at night. We know that because it's a, you know, multi-billion dollar industry and everybody's got some sort of opinion on babies needing to sleep. And nobody's out there talking about the biological necessity of baby waking during the night. Like, when we understand the fundamental aspects of our baby and our body in postpartum, we know that all of those things aren't true. I mean, there's so many myths to postpartum that we, you know, don't quite understand as a society. We tell women all the time, just get out, you'll feel better. And that's so far from the truth. Like, you just grew a human being with your body for 10 months and then you gave birth to it. And now you're sustaining its life by breastfeeding and through your body. And you're expecting to get out of the house in 2 weeks? Like, there's no way. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to take that opportunity to heal and rest and recover from all of that. And that takes quite some time. And I find in all of my work and all of my studies that our society really has no idea how to help women heal. And, you know, we know the statistic that, you know, over 30% of women experience postpartum depression and anxiety. And really that number is only of the people who admit to having such things. I was not that person. And there are so many other women out there. And so I think that that number is significantly higher. And a lot of that comes from the lack of knowledge of how a postpartum body needs to heal and needs to recover, and also a lack of understanding and how a newborn is incorporated into that, into our lives and into ourselves as a mother. There's a huge gap of understanding. I mean, we even tell women, you know, postpartum, eat smoothies and drink or eat salads and drink smoothies. And that is so far from the truth. That will actually hurt your gut more than help your gut. And so if we look at just that aspect alone, it shows us how much or how little we know about postpartum as a society.
A couple of things I love from you. I have a question, but I'm going to start it by saying that, man, just thinking about the expectations that are placed on women is such bullshit. It's so ridiculous. Everything that you listed off, I'm like, you know, I think back to before we got pregnant, I was of the thinking of the people you described, because you don't really hear about anything else. So, you know, and I was very unaware of what those expectations were and how ridiculous they are. You know, let's get back on your feet after a couple of weeks after, you know, growing a human and giving birth and sustaining that human. So my emotions aside, I'm very curious. Where can people go to get honest, healthy, loving information? Because I imagine some of the people who are telling them to eat salads and drink smoothies and to get outside in the fresh air and go for a walk, I imagine some of that advice is coming from professionals. And yeah, when it is, it's hard to, you know, you just take it. You just assume that the doctor telling you these things or you know, or whoever it is, knows their stuff. But if it's not resonating with you, you know, if their advice is not resonating with you, then I imagine so many women are just left feeling confused. So, you know, where can people go just to get some honest information that they can trust.
Absolutely. And this is something that I have been working on for quite some time in terms of educating others, especially professionals, and looking into that realm. And in terms of what I do, there's not very many people out there. I'm one of the only postpartum wellness practitioners in the world. And I work worldwide. I have clients in Spain and Africa and United Kingdom, all places around the world. And I'm one of the few people who actually do that. There's several others who work in the capacity of training professionals, but nobody works in the capacity of working with moms one-on-one. And so I'm hoping to change that here very soon. But in terms of finding the information, there are women out there who need counselors and things like that. And if you're going to seek out a professional in postpartum or for postpartum, I highly recommend that you find somebody who is postpartum specific, who has training in postpartum, because postpartum depression is radically different than regular depression. It comes from a completely different place. And to have somebody who's trained in that knowledge and background is very important.
Is there a type of training that someone should look for?
Yeah, there's a website, PSI, Postpartum Support International, .com. So it's postpartum.net, I believe, is the website that you can go to. And they are responsible for training so many counselors and therapists and professionals in postpartum and beyond. So lactation consultants, all of those things can get certified and work through them. And I highly recommend that if anybody's looking for that kind of support, that they go to that website and search for their area of a professional who can help them in that capacity. And that's if you're already in postpartum and you feel like you need that additional support from a counselor or that kind of professional. In terms of preparing for postpartum, you can go to my website, serenitygrows.com. I am, again, one of the only people in the world at this time who helps women prepare for the postpartum period in a very practical way, but also in a very spiritual and mental and emotional capacity as well. And so I have free things on my website. I have a free resource library. And then there's also an opportunity to work with me directly one-on-one.
I just have to say, while it's completely amazing, inspiring what you're doing, also staggering in a way that when you think about the population of the world and then the ratio of that population of the world that has babies, that there are so few people put in place to help those people who are having babies cope with that process and experience.
You know, it's
kind of mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. And I think the wonderful thing about all of this is that it's becoming known.
Right.
Like, there are people out there who are recognizing that this is something that needs to be addressed. And I'm watching that shift in our mentality begin. And it's really exciting to see so many women be like, oh, I do need to prepare for postpartum. Or, you know what, that doesn't sound right. And I need to look into that more. And I'm seeing that so much more. And that to me is really exciting, to be able to sit back and watch that growth take place, because it is happening. That shift is happening here, and we're starting to recognize the importance of postpartum and how much it's been neglected for, you know, ever. So that's exciting to me.
It is exciting. Yeah, possibility and what can open up. That is really exciting. And that's a great space to be in. I'm curious, what are some of your top things? Like, if you were to bullet point, you know, a list of top potentially five things or less than that a mama could do for that preparation of the postpartum experience, either things to put in place, people to have on standby, resources, books, website, you know, and we listed a couple of great websites, and we're going to list all these resources and anything else you mentioned. We're going to put links in the show notes for you listening. But I was just wondering what your, you know, like top heroes of postpartum experience are.
I think in terms of what a mama can do to prepare herself, two of the biggest things that I highly recommend is learning to rest and to sleep, because it's not just sleep when your baby sleeps. Every mom will tell you that is ridiculous. It has its place, but there's so much more to the story. The way we are set up and the way we're such a go, go, go kind of society, and we have our cell phones at us all the time, and we don't know how to just be in the moment. That's a skill that's learned over time. And to help moms walk themselves through that process and learn how to just be in the moment and learn how to rest their bodies fully without even necessarily being asleep, but in a way that can help them move forward feeling, you know, rested and helping their bodies heal in the same time is huge.
Yes.
So rest is amazing. And an absolute necessity in healing. I actually see, postpartum depression and anxiety highly linked to lack of sleep. When a mom doesn't sleep, nothing goes well. And then food, in terms of what to eat, how to eat, how to prepare for that. And I think this is one of the biggest things that I hear moms say, well, I'm preparing for postpartum because I'm making lots of freezer meals. Which is fantastic, but you also need to know what it means to eat in postpartum. And you can, you know, there's not much out there in terms of, books and things like that. I think there's a book out there, titled The First 40 Days. And that's a cultural perspective book. And I absolutely love it. It's, full of information on what to eat, through one cultural lens. But to look at other cultures and how they do it, there's very set patterns that you see that are necessary for postpartum healing. And just to look into what that means. Again, this is information that's not readily available. It's not, you know, you can type in postpartum sleep. You might find somebody's blog post, but you'll never find a website or a person who's specific to these ideas. So sometimes they take a lot of studying and a lot of research and a lot of questions for other moms who've experienced that kind of thing. And that's one of the reasons why I specialize in that, because you get all your information in one spot. So sleep and nutrition. And I think we have this idea of support, which is really challenging in our society. Way back when, before we became an industrialized country, we had a support group. We had that woman tribe where when a woman gave birth, we were all there. We were giving her meals and giving her massage and helping her breastfeed and taking her baby so she can rest and encouraging that bond when mom was awake. And all of those things, right? And in our society, that's just not really possible because we got to go to work. You know, families are busy. Other people are busy. As much as we want to be involved, I don't think that we are in a place so much where we can be that involved. And maybe there's that kind of shift happening, but I think that it's going to look different going into the future than it is from what we know it to have been. So support is absolutely important. But I think the idea that we hold of this mama tribe kind of holds us at a standard that feels really, what's the word I'm looking for? Unobtainable. And I hear this all the time. Well, I don't have a support system. I don't have a bunch of friends, or my family lives out of state and I don't really know anyone. And so when a woman hears, I need to find that tribe, I need to find that support system, they get really discouraged because they feel like I don't have that or anything close to that. Nothing resembles that in my life. And so we get really discouraged. So I always recommend that you find one person that can be that support for you in postpartum, somebody that you can share everything with and be very intimate in that process. And it shouldn't be your partner. I hear so many things about partners. And maybe Matthew, you can share on this too, but partners are kind of this, we have such high expectations. Like many years ago, they were never involved, right? They were at the bar and then they heard the news and then they like, yay. And they had the little cigar. And nowadays it's totally different, and that they want to be involved and they're there through that whole process, which is absolutely amazing. But then there's this expectation that he's going to be our support person, when really you both need that support person, because, you know, the partner is going through this transition into becoming a father as well. And he's going through all of this other, you know, he's got to learn how to bond with this baby too. Not just the mother. And so he needs support as well. And I think we're finding that, especially with the statistics that, you know, over 10% of partners have postpartum depression. And I think that speaks volumes to men needing the support that women need as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think everything you said was spot on. I mean, but in my experience, it was all so new, and I'm navigating my stuff and trying to be a great support for Sarah, and, you know, do what I can, you know, looking after Maya. So I think having each individual having someone, so that support is so key. And I like how you said having one person, because I do think that, you know, we want a group. We have the vision of like a group of guys that I can talk to, and it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys and they all get me. And Sarah might have in her mind a group of women who are all connected and everybody can share. But there's so much benefit to simply just having one. And so I like that you said that. And I think that's something that people listening can really kind of put their minds around, like having one person that you can just have that intimate, deep connected relationship with. And
yeah,
as we wrap things up, I wanted to go back to your story with your firstborn, with your son, and that 2-year period where you talked about your postpartum depression and how you were pulling yourself out of it and working through that alone for those 2 years. I would love for you to just leave us with some words, a message for you back then, because I know somebody right now listening is experiencing very similar feelings and going through something very similar. So, you know, what would you tell yourself 8, almost 9 years ago while you were in that period?
You are not alone. You are not alone in this journey at all. There's so many women before you and so many women with you. And it feels incredibly alone and it feels very intense. But there is a whole world of women who are right there with you experiencing the same thing. You're not a defect. You know, we have this societal thing that says that as women who give birth, we're supposed to be happy, right? We had the birth and the baby came out just fine. And so you're supposed to be happy. Why aren't you? And I think that puts into our mind that we're not right. We're wrong. That something is wrong with us. And that's simply not true at all. It's society that's wrong. And that's really hard sometimes to grasp and understand, but really know that you're not alone. There is support, there is help. And if it comes from a counselor, that's wonderful, but know that there are other options as well.
That's powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Miranda, and for everything that you've shared today. It's just been such an amazing conversation to hear from your own personal experience and then how you've translated that into who you are for other women and the work that you're doing and the movements that you are inspiring, you know, to get us closer and closer to that space of just normalizing all this stuff that happens all over billions of instances and examples. So I think it's so great. And we are going to include links to Serenity Grows, your website, how people can get in touch with you, learn more about you, and follow along now in your new journey of pregnancy number four and bringing another baby earthside. It's just so exciting.
And yes, thank you.
Yeah. So we'll be wanting to talk to you again and hear some more, get some updates.
Oh yeah. I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Miranda.
Yeah, thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Matthew. I really enjoyed it. And I'm so happy for all that you guys are doing here and sharing. And I'm really grateful to be a part of that.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved. Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.